Boy, it's a bad proposition, isn't it? And God gives us a chance, and he gives us the power to repent. Repentance is a gift from God. When he offers that gift, if we refuse it, it's going to go very poorly for us. I want to give you kind of another, an event in the Bible that gives us an example of this. Do y'all remember about the prophet Jonah? Who is he supposed to go to be a prophet to? Nineveh, the Assyrians. The Assyrians were the ones that had already carried Israel off, okay? So these were some bad, bad people. But whenever Jonah was supposed to go, now he had some hard feelings toward these folks, right? And he didn't really want to go. But he finally, after he'd been on a ship, thrown overboard, swallowed by a great fish, taken back to the bank, and I've often said, man, it was probably a long way around, but it was getting him closer to Nineveh. And so they got him up there a little bit closer, God spits him out on the bank, and he reminds him, now, son, you need to go on and do what I told you to do. You're to go to Nineveh, and you're to be a prophet to him. He went, and he warned them of the great wrath of God to come upon them unless they repent. And he knew God would relent if they repented. He knew that. In fact, he went up on the side, of the grade beside the city, and he watched. And he was hoping they wouldn't, because he actually, in his heart, wanted to see them destroyed. Sad. Sad thought, but a reality. We may even be a little hard-hearted sometimes. But it didn't change what God was doing. Do y'all remember what the king of Nineveh did? He proclaimed a fast. He proclaimed everybody fast and be in sackcloth to show repentance before God. And his very words were that God might see and maybe he will repent, relent of the disaster that he's about to bring upon us. They repented. And what did God do? God actually forgave them and he withheld his hand of judgment for 100 years. Okay, now eventually they did turn south again. They went the wrong way. They went away from God. You figure 100 years, it's at least two generations of people. Within two generations, and if you look, any movement, even in our own country, in two generations, if it's not passed down properly, it will die. And this movement toward God did die, and God did bring the disaster that he had talked about bringing on them. And of course, now, by the time we get to Jeremiah, there's a whole other empire that's risen up. It's the Babylonian Empire that's gaining prominence, and they've taken over the Assyrians, and they've taken over everybody, and they're coming for Judah. They're on their way. And God has given them an opportunity to repent. And I believe there's even more opportunity here within these pages up to a certain point. But when they don't repent, then God actually comes out, and in a couple of these chapters, and this is one of them, he tells Jeremiah not to even pray for the people anymore. Now, I'm going to tell you something. And it gets to the point that God says, don't even pray for the people no more. That's when we know we've had it. We have really had it as a people. And that's a very frightening thought. I praise God, God's not told us that. Amen? And so we're going to continue to pray for the people. But I want us to understand that we are in a very, very important time in our country right now. I believe, without a doubt, this is a defining moment. We are given the opportunity right now to repent of a huge, huge crime that we have committed against God for quite a long time. And we really need to pray and be active of spreading the gospel to see this thing. The gospel is the answer to this problem. I'm just going to tell you, the gospel is the answer to this problem. Everything I've ever seen in the pro-life movement that does it has any effect at all is gospel-centered, gospel-driven, gospel-oriented. These are Christian gatherings. I'm going to tell you, I've been to Washington, D.C., as some of you have as well, for the March for Life. That is not a secular movement of people that are like-minded about pro-life, that love babies. I'm telling you, that's a Christian movement. That is a Christian worship time. It's Christians from all denominations. Those are Christ-centered individuals who love life because they love God and they love Jesus, and he's all life. He's all about it. And so please, let's join together in these days and really be serious about praying and continuing to fight the spiritual battle. Because I think it's huge. If we're given this chance and we don't repent, I believe we're going to see a great judgment come against us. And we see this here in Jeremiah. In what ways was he going to destroy Judah? He said there was going to be famine, pestilence, and a sword. Okay, so what? How does famine come about? And it could come about by a siege from another country, nation who comes against you. They lock you into your city, and you can't get food. That's one way they'll do that. That's one way that you can have famine. But another way is because of drought, right? Drought. And, I always go back to it. I'll never forget so many years ago, it was 5 or 6 years ago, that we had that crazy little drought. And I was astounded. I was shocked how fast things started dying. I mean, like, we went, a month or something without any rain? 3 weeks or a month? And I'm telling you, man, my grass... Yeah, my grass was crispy. It was fried. I'd go out and walk on it. It crunched under my feet. I remember walking down to our garden, which I was trying to water our garden to keep it going. But I remember walking across that stuff with bare feet. And it was the craziest feeling stuff I ever felt, you know. Yeah, it was incredible how fast it got so dry. Trees died. A lot of things died. Anything that was weak died. Anything that didn't have deep roots. And I'm thinking, man, that was just like a month. What happens? Whenever, like, there was a time whenever Elijah prayed and it didn't rain for 3.5 years. Yeah, I mean, it would be incredible. Who does that? God does that, right? God's the one who brings rain or doesn't or withholds the rain. God does that. And I remember back then, you know, I was hearing all these people, well, you see, it's this climate change and blah, blah, blah. It's all man-made nonsense. It's God. He even called out some of the areas that would become a wasteland. And I'll tell you, folks, they're wasteland still today. You look at it at Egypt. Like, guys, that was like the center of civilization for a long time. You know, that was where civilization flourished. And they had flourishing farming and things like that. Now, have you ever seen pictures of it? It is a sandy wasteland. God proclaimed that, and he did it. They ceased to be a people. Do you know that even to this day, Egypt does not know about their own history? They know about as much as we know from the hieroglyphics, and that's it. I mean, God cut them off. And you know, you get to that point, you're in trouble. Why did God cut them off? Because they wouldn't repent. God even gave them a chance during the time of Pharaoh, whenever you had the exodus of the Israelites. He showed him all these judgments. And he showed them through the prophets that delivered it, that it was from his hand. And they still didn't repent. And in fact, later on, they continued to be a thorn to Israel. And so eventually, it came time. Well, the time for Judah is now. Let's read what's here in chapter 14. That which came as the word of the Lord to Jeremiah in regard to the drought. Judah mourns and her gates languish. They sit on the ground in mourning, and the cry of Jerusalem has ascended. Their nobles have sent their servants for water. They have come to the cisterns and found no water. They didn't have, 500-foot wells like we do. Droughts affected their water table a lot quicker. They have returned with their vessels empty. They have been put to shame and humiliated, and they cover their heads because the ground is cracked. For there has been no rain on the land. The farmers have been put to shame. They have covered their heads. And even the doe in the field has given birth only to abandon her young because there is no grass. The wild donkeys stand on the bare heights. They pant for air like jackals. Their eyes fail, and there is no vegetation. Although our iniquities testify against us, O Lord, act for your name's sake. Truly our apostasies have been many. We have sinned against you. O hope of Israel, its Savior, in time of distress, why are you like a stranger in the land, or like a traveler who has pitched his tent for the night? Why are you like a man dismayed, like a mighty man who cannot save? Yet you are in our midst, O Lord, and we are called by your name. Do not forsake us. Sounds like a heartfelt, gut-wrenching prayer that's being prayed out to God. pleading with him to save them. And even you know, bringing to bear that God, your reputation is at stake here. We are called by your name and your reputation is at stake here. We are calling out to you and it seems as though you're not strong enough to save us. Your reputation is at stake. Listen to what God has to say. Thus says the Lord to his people. Even so, they have loved to wander. They have not kept their feet in check. Therefore, the Lord does not accept them. Now he will remember their iniquity and call their sins to account. I'm going to tell you something, brothers and sisters. That's a frightful statement right there. What he's saying is, even so, he's saying, yes, there has been a drought, and yes, I have sent it. And no, their hearts have not repented. They know it's me, but they are continuing in the same spiritual condition that they were before. They were... Go ahead. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Save me from this moment. Dare I say, I believe that the folks were still calling on other gods at the same time. And I'm just going to tell you, God's not going to take a part of us. He's not going to allow us to give him lip service and still trust other things. He knows our hearts. Well, I don't know about, there was all different types of gods that they were worshiping in high places and everything else. It talked about it before that, and I'm sure Baal would have been a part of it and different things of that nature. I don't think it was so much them as it was, yeah, it was more the gods who were of the Canaanite people to begin with. They had put up Baal and Ashtoreth and things of that nature in the temple at one time or another. But even when they took them out of the temple and destroyed that, they were still going up on the high places. So they were spending part of their time there and part of their time down at the temple. And it was like they were hedging their bets, so to speak. Do you ever see that happen in our country today, do you think? What do you think our God is that competes with? How about when we're just in trouble? What do you think the two that compete against? I think our money is a big one. I think ourselves. I'm just going to be honest with you. We are our own gods. Yeah, we are very much dependent on self. And if we look at the schools, what are they teaching? Teaching a whole lot of stuff about self-reliance. Yeah, it's a very humanistic theology that they have going on. Believe me, it's a religion. Self-reliance, even the education field kind of becomes a god before we know it. It's a tool. Don't get me wrong. I think it can be a very helpful tool, but it's not our hope in our time of need. Yes. Feminism can be... how about politics? Yeah, I mean, you know, I know we got to deal with politics, but I'm just going to tell you, that ain't God. Donald Trump's really taught me that. I'm just going to be honest. I never dreamed he'd do such a good job. Not in my wildest dreams. I never dreamed that he would be as good a leader as he has been. And I believe there's a lot of factors happening in that, but I think y'all's prayers are huge in that. It's God. It's God. And he's just showing us time and time again, it's me, and I'm bringing blessing. Are you going to repent? I bring hard times. Are you going to repent? Are you going to get right with me? I'm giving you a chance. I believe he's calling out to us from heaven, and he's telling us it's time. You see, he told them it was time, and they didn't listen, and so he brought a drought on them. And then he saw, who are they calling out to? And they got one here that's calling out to him, and he's saying, help him out. But he's saying, no, I'm listening to the people. Phoenix? Races? Yeah? That's, That's pretty insightful. I think that is kind of a big thing. Yes. I'll be honest. I think church sometimes is a god. Maybe, you know, I can live how I want, kind of, you know, 6 days a week, but as long as I go to church for a couple hours on Sunday, I'm pleasing God by that, and so then I'm kind of keeping him happy. Guys, I'm telling you, God wants our whole life, right? We know that. It's a 24/7 deal. He wants the whole deal. He sees us even in the privacy of our own home, you know. So he's saying, because they're not, because they're continuing to wander, even while they're in this struggle, even when they're in this trial, their feet are continuing to wander. What does he mean by that? He means they're still going to the high places, guys. They're still going to the other gods. They're still going to those other gods. They're still committing spiritual adultery. And he's saying, so now I'm going to call their iniquity to account. So the Lord said to me, verse 11, do not pray for the welfare of this people. I'm just going to tell you, that one sentence right there, it actually literally puts chills on my body, and it breaks my heart. For God to say, don't even pray for them anymore. That's a frightening thought. That is a frightening thought, because that's when there's just no more hope, because God's our only hope. He says, when they fast, I am not going to listen to their cry. So fasting isn't just the answer, is it? We talked about that a little bit this morning, about getting the flesh out of the way. But it's not going to change God's heart or his mind. It's a crying out to him and showing him our humility. That's what Nineveh did, and he heard. But he's saying, for them, I'm not going to hear it. Yes. It's supposed to be about changing us. It's about getting our flesh out of the way so we can properly approach God and properly be humbled to receive a word from God. It really is more about us in our position than it is about him. Yeah. But if we're going to continue in spiritual adultery, he said, don't even bother. If we're going to continue in rebellion, don't even bother. If you're going to come to me with a rebellious heart, don't even bother. You know, they had finally come to the point that he just wasn't even going to listen. It didn't matter what their actions were. Yes, Brother Bill? Oh, it would be, yeah. It's a heartbreaking statement that's being made there, and I'm saying the reason why I'm looking at it in such intensity is I think God's still the same God. And I think if we don't have repentant hearts, I think that he might still do the same thing to a nation who's gone astray. And remember, the way God deals with people is a little bit different than the way that he deals with nations. Because he deals with nations here on earth. He brings punishment, he brings discipline on nations during this realm. He judges people in the realm to come. So we will all stand our day individually before God, and we're not going to be responsible for anybody else's sins. But right now, national sins are dealt with. And so that's why it matters. It matters what our nation does. I don't remember it exactly like that, but I do know that it says that blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, for sure. And, you know, that's the thing. You know, so we're taught in our Christian experience, that since we can't force religion on somebody, that somehow or another we got to find some neutral position. And I'm just going to tell you, brothers and sisters, that's what got us where we're at right now. Forget about neutrality. Jesus is truly the only way. God is truly the only true God. So if we try to be neutral, we're denying our God. We can't do that. We really have to be strongly with the Lord, even in the public scene, even in the public sector. And I don't care what job you got. God needs to be number one in your life, no matter where you're at. And so I think it is important that we elect Christians to offices. I think it is important that we have Christians as school teachers. I think it is important to have judges who are Christians. Because, guys, if you're not a Christian, you got a reprobate mind. You're in trouble. You can't judge rightly. And so we really need to pray more people be in those types of positions. And we need to pray that more people would come to the Lord in the process. You know, it used to be our Supreme Court would judge on cases, and some of our main judges in history would literally tell people, you know, you need to repent before God. I mean, they may hand down a death sentence, and they would say, repent before your Maker that He might forgive you before you stand before Him, because, sir, you're going to stand before Him soon. I mean, can you imagine the uproar in these days that we live in now? It was the right thing to do. And they were able to live out their Christianity in a they weren't forcing a person, but they were most certainly giving them the opportunity. See, we've gotten to such a point, and I say it again because it's so true. God reveals Himself through His creation. We've gotten to such a point of neutrality that we have just lost our minds, that we will allow evolution to be taught and creationism not. I'm just saying, it's no wonder that we're so lost as a society. God reveals Himself through His creation, that He is the Creator, and we are not even teaching our children even a facet of that in the public school system anymore, because it's just too religious. No, it's too sound, and the devil don't want it taught, is what's really happening. And so how do we get to back to the point? Well, I can't march in there and demand it. They're not going to listen to me. The generation needs to have their heart changed. And as we see a generation with their heart changed, guys, that's when we're going to see God taught in the school again. And I'm not saying that they have to come to be, you know, have Christianity proselytized on them and forced into it. Guys, did God really create everything? It is the truth. And it's not even being taught because it's too religious. Yeah, one nation under God. And it's like we are not even allowed to acknowledge God at all. Now, I see some changes in that. I see some improvements in that. But we're being given a chance. And we better not blow it. Because it's a big deal. We see this is what happens if you don't. Right here. It's very clear. And so the Lord says, do not pray, in verse 11, for the welfare of this people. When they fast, I'm not going to listen to their cry. And when they offer burnt offering and grain offering, I am not going to accept them. Rather, I am going to make an end of them by the sword, famine, and pestilence. Is anybody stronger than God? If God decides to do this, can anybody stop Him? So it goes on. There were some other people out there that were involved in this deal. And they were telling a lot of lies. You think it's happening today? Call themselves Christians or religious, and they sound intelligent, but they're not telling the truth. And they had this at this time in verse 13, but oh God, Lord God, I said, look, the prophets are telling them, and this is what they're telling them, you will not see the sword, nor will you have famine, but I will give you lasting peace in this place. Well, let me ask you something. Were they in a drought? Even as they speak here, they are in a drought, and the false prophets are still saying you're not going to have a famine. What does drought bring? Famine. Said that even the animals were abandoning their young because there wasn't enough grass for them to eat. And so, yeah, They were going to have a famine, and yet the false prophets are standing up there saying, oh, no, there's no problem. How about after 9/11? No, I don't think this is from God. Whenever, you know, Jerry Falwell, which he could be quite flamboyant and colorful, sometimes he kind of brought it on himself. But, I mean, he stood up and he said truth. There were several of them that did. They said, we believe God has allowed this to happen because we will not repent of the sin of abortion in our nation. And they were severely chastised by the Christian community for saying that, many of them. And we, you can't know that. We can too. Because it says it over and over again about other nations. So what would make us think that we're any different? You know, that was one of the sins that they had committed. If you remember earlier in Jeremiah, it talked about the sin of sacrificing their children. And God said, I never wanted you to do this, nor had I even thought of this. So don't you blame this on me. I didn't want you to ever do this. And so these false prophets are saying, no, peace, peace. And then the Lord said to me, the prophets are prophesying falsehood in my name. I have never sent them, nor commanded them, nor spoken to them. They are prophesying to you a false vision, divination, futility, and the deception of their own minds. Guys, I don't care who you find who's preaching. If it ain't coming from the Word of God, don't listen. Because we don't need to hear other people's opinions on matters and bringing up all this great, these great thoughts about godliness or about God without it coming from the Word of God. I remember we visited a church, and it's a popular church, and I think they do a pretty good work. I don't know, but something really caught my attention. The preacher, he taught all about marriage, and then he taught all this stuff about marriage on a Sunday morning. And we went a couple Sundays in a row, and it seemed like it was almost like a psychology lesson, which marriage needs to be preached on, don't get me wrong. But then toward the end of one of his messages, he said, even the Bible says so. And I'm like, now, wait a minute. I'm not really on top of things because I was still pretty young in the Lord, but I'm thinking, shouldn't we have started with the Bible? Not, I'm going to tell you all these good things, and then even the Bible says so. I'm kind of thinking we need to start with thus says the Lord God. And then if there's some other things that can kind of help us to understand that a little bit better or have tools to put it into practice, and then we end with thus saith God. We continue with the Bible, no matter where we are. And these guys were literally preaching and prophesying false vision, divination, futility, and the deception of their own minds. Wow, without God, do you think your mind can be deceived? Oh, absolutely. I've made many mistakes when I didn't follow God. Amen? We need to make sure we follow God. In verse 15, therefore, thus says the Lord concerning the prophets who are prophesying in my name, although it was not I who sent them, yet they keep saying, there will be no sword or famine in this land. By sword or in famine, those prophets shall meet their end. He's saying those very people are going to experience it for themselves. They're going to know that it was a lie. Yes. Yeah, that definitely could be. There's actually churches and pastors that are getting on board with that too. And I think that's where you're really crossing the line of false prophets, because they're actually saying that our number one thing is we need to stop driving SUVs. There's entire churches that are committed to this, and the preachers are preaching it, that the environment is so much more important than anything else we got going on. And I mean, guys, global warming's a fact. It's going to happen. Yeah, these prosperity gospel churches, yeah, absolutely, that is. And what they're saying is there's never going to be any, you know, God doesn't want you to ever have to suffer. God doesn't want that. Well, read the Bible, because he says there's going to be tribulation, right, in all of our lives. Yeah, you're really right, sister, and that's totally right. And you know, there's some other gospels that are being preached out there. The gospels that are social gospels. You know, what Jesus really wants is for you to fix all the social problems. You know, they don't even really worry that much about, they're not that concerned with eternity. They're just concerned with little social issues. Jesus is much more worried about our eternity. He's much more concerned about that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I heard a popular pastor that many people watch on TV saying, after you become a Christian, you don't need to repent all the time. He said, that's just too much of a burden. That just weighs you down. I mean, really? I think we need to repent. God says so. When we see a known sin in our life, we need to do something about it. 1 John 1:9, the promise is, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I think that means every day. And I don't know about the rest of you guys, but for me, sometimes it's multiple times a day. Whenever we find ourselves slipping into sin or temptation, we need to repent. That's the only power we have, is to find God's power in that way. There's so many other ones, you know. We've got churches that are inviting Muslims to speak from their pulpits, saying we all worship the same God, just in different ways and different forms. False prophets. We have prophets that say they can tell you what day the world's going to end. And they got big followings. And I don't get that one, guys, because the Bible makes it really clear that nobody knows. So how they think that person knows, and they're going to follow that person, I think they all need to study their Bibles a little bit better. Yeah. So far, we're doing pretty good at 2018. Yes. Even the angels don't know. So what makes that false prophet think they're going to know? Even when Jesus walked on the earth, he said he didn't know. So what makes that false prophet think that they know? It's their own, what was that part again there? Deception of their mind. Okay? Deception of their mind. You know, we were discussing whether or not it was really God who brought, you know, the storm Katrina inland onto New Orleans in the last church that I was in. And as much as I love our dear pastor, still do to this day, he said, I can tell you why it happened. Because warm air hit cold air out in the ocean and it began to spin and it came inland. No, I believe God's hand was upon it. I believe it was God's very own will. And it wasn't just because of Mardi Gras. I'm not saying he was just laying the smack down on people. What he was doing was this. He brought calamity to bring about the thought that maybe we should turn to God, and then he sent the Christians in to help, and he connected the two. And I'm talking thousands of people got saved through that. Thousands of people gave their hearts to the Lord, and still happening today in that very area of the world. Houston, Texas. There are still Christians working down there right now putting Houston back together. Thousands and thousands of people have come to the Lord because of it. Yes, God's in it. God is in it. Florida right now. North Carolina right now. Christians all over that place. You know what? Muslim groups aren't there doing it. Praise God. And I hope they don't start. You know, I don't see any other groups down there. No, and neither are all the atheist groups. Neither are all these other liberal groups. They don't go unless the government pays them. But the Christians are there, volunteering their time, volunteering their hearts, volunteering everything they've got to try to help their neighbors, because Jesus said so, and it's bringing the gospel. So yes, God was in it, and God wants to see true repentance. He wants to see a true turning. He's giving us opportunities to help go in that direction. Don't listen to those false prophets. Don't even engage with what they're saying. You just keep living for the Lord, and you keep showing. It says, the people also to whom they are prophesying, verse 16, will be thrown out into the streets of Jerusalem because of the famine of sort, and there will be no one to bury them, neither them, nor their wives, nor their sons, nor their daughters, for I will pour out their own wickedness on them. See, some would say, boy, that God of the Old Testament, he's so cruel. No, he isn't. He's given them what they've been asking for and what they've been working toward for a long time. They have not repented. The issue is repentance. You know, verse 17, you will say this word to them, let my eyes flow down with tears night and day, and let them not cease, for the virgin daughter of my people has been crushed with a mighty blow, with a sorely infected wound. If I go out to the country, behold, those slain with the sword, or if I enter the city, behold, diseases of famine, for both prophet and priest have gone roving about in the land that they do not know. Have you completely rejected Judah, or have you loathed Zion? Why have you stricken us so that we are beyond healing? We waited for peace, but nothing good came, and for a time of healing, but behold, terror. We know our wickedness, O Lord, the iniquity of our fathers, for we have sinned against you. Do not despise us for your own name's sake. Do not disgrace the throne of your glory. Remember and do not annul your covenant with us. Are they any among the idols of the nations who give rain? Answer the question, church. No. And it's not all man-made climate change. God is the one who gives the rain at his appointed times. And if we lack it, we need to repent of every known sin and we need to go to him and ask him. There have been times in our own nation that they've lacked rain. Y'all heard about the Dust Bowl time and around the Depression. Man, that was a low time in our country. You know what we were coming off of? The Roaring Twenties. God was disciplining our nation. And he was saying, no more, you must repent. And there were churches met every day. And they would ring the bell to remind people to pray at a certain time of the day that God would send rain again. You know what we're involved in was something that someone suggested, a nationwide effort to pray at 8 o'clock for our nation. So I set this device here that can be used for evil things, but it can also be used for good things. And I set the alarm on it that it goes off at 8 p.m. every day, and we stop and we pray for 1 minute for our nation. What happens to our nation if every God-fearing person in the whole United States of America would join our hearts together and pray and ask for a revival? Do you believe God would send it? Yes, forgive their sins and heal their land. And so I believe we ought to all be involved in this. I think this is an initiative that is definitely worthy of us connecting with. It doesn't call for a huge amount of sacrifice, but it will call for a sacrifice. Because it calls for us to connect with God, and I can tell you what he does with me whenever I connect with God. I don't know, maybe I'm different than everybody else. I don't think so, though. He shows me some of my own problems. And I got to deal with them. And if he does that to every God-fearing American, as we really join our hearts together and pray, he's not only going to hear our prayers and heal our land as he forgives our sins, but he's also going to help us individually to improve in our walk and relationship with them. Revival, that is revival. That is revival right there. Is when we're reminded of God and we actually go before his throne and he deals with us personally. And then he deals with us as a group. And if every blood-bought believer in Jesus Christ will pray solemnly every day for this nation, I believe what you're seeing is the result of it, and even more as it spreads. And so we mustn't grow complacent during these days that we see things beginning to go in the right direction. Oh, well, you know, God's got this. I'm just going to go back. No! We must continue to pray through this. We must continue to witness our way through this. We must reach out. Because if the Holy Spirit is beginning to be poured out in a massive way, that's when it's time. That's when it's time to witness. That's when it's time for the harvest. You remember Jesus saw that time. And he said, look, the fields are wide under the harvest. Do you remember what his disciples were saying to him at that time? They were like, come on, man, you need to come and eat. While he was in getting them some food, Jesus was witnessing to the lady at the well in Samaria. Man, she believed him. Wow! And guess what she did? She went and got everybody that would listen to her to come with him, with her. She said, you got to come see this guy. Don't just believe it because what I'm telling you, you believe what you come see him for yourself. And I'm telling you, she brought people to Jesus. And the disciples were so out of tune, you know. They were like worrying about their bellies at the time. And they're saying, man, you got to be hungry. Come on, Jesus, you just need to eat. And he goes, look, I know I have food that you know nothing of. He was talking about that relationship with the Father, being at the right place at the right time, being focused on the right thing. Yeah, he ate too. But that wasn't the moment. It was those people that were coming. That's what mattered. And it was the moment that he was going to be able to present the truth to them that would bring eternal life into their focus, that would prime that area for that great revival that we see just a little bit later on when Philip the evangelist went and people were being saved like crazy in Samaria of all places. You see, being tuned in to the time, this is the time. We're seeing the schools open their doors and allow us in. We're seeing politicians who are not backing off. We're seeing laws being made to say abortion's illegal in our state. We're seeing people gather together on the street up there in St. Louis and bring a mountain, a small hill of baby goods right in front of Planned Parenthood and having a rally and inviting people to stop and see that we will help them raise their children. You see, that's the gospel that's going out through that. Very Christian movement. It's love of Christ being acted upon. Let's stay in it. Let's stay on it. Let's stay with God. And I'm telling you, I think we are just at the cusp, just at that edge of seeing something really great happen. But if we get complacent, we'll miss it. We will. Some of you guys lived in the 70s, didn't you? Okay. So that covers the 70s too. Y'all remember something called the Jesus Movement? I was still a little boy during that time. But I remember reporting on it on the television set. And I remember seeing all the hippies, right? All long-haired hippies getting saved and getting all excited about Jesus. And I'll tell you what, I think the traditional churches were afraid of them. And I can just tell you, they were kind of like, I don't know if I want that kind here. I think if they'd have let that kind in, they might have found that God might have changed some things in their lives. I'm going to tell you, when we start to see a great revival in our land, our church crowd's going to look a little different. Okay? You know all them folks that look kind of scary out there? They might just end up in here. Praise God. Praise God, because this is where they need to be to hear the word, hear the truth. We're not going to change our message to try to get them in here. The message is still going to be the same. But when God pours out His Spirit and repentance happens in their heart, they're going to want to know more. And this is where we need to do it. And so, you know, I want you to remember God's doing something. And if we miss this opportunity, I believe these words are for us. I really do. And it may be within the next generation is this defining time. And so let's stay in. And he goes on to say, you know, are there any of the idols of the nations who give rain? And we all agree, no. Or can the heavens grant showers? So that's that science thing. You know, that's that science thing. Well, it just because of these independent processes. No, that can't either. Is it not you, O Lord our God? Therefore we hope in you. See, we may not have a famine of food in our nation, praise God. We have got a famine of the Word of God. Even in so many churches, there is no depth to the preaching. The Word of God, people are spiritually illiterate, biblically illiterate. Because we've grabbed onto a couple mantras that work for us, and then we haven't desired to go any deeper, and there's a famine of real biblical understanding, and it has gotten us in a bad place. That needs to change. And the way we see it change is by doing our part and encouraging others as well. And we need that. And it's only God who can do it. Just like He's the only one who can grant the shower from heaven. He's the only one who can grant the shower of the Holy Spirit upon the church as well. So, is that not you, O Lord our God? Therefore we hope in you, for you are the one who has done all these things. So he's saying, Lord, you brought the famine. Lord, you're the only one who can bring the rain. Lord, we're looking to you. And if we don't get it from you, we have no hope, but we still will hope in you. And so this was priming that. Yeah, they got the judgment. Yeah, they went to Babylon. But yes, some people were built up in the faith to be ready. Daniel believed him. Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael believed him. And they were strengthened, and they purposed in their heart they weren't going to defile themselves when they went into that land. Yes. Absolutely. Amen. Amen. You know, whenever ISIS first started taking over areas in Syria and Iraq, I was one of the most discouraged people. It really discouraged me. But I'm going to tell you something. The infinite wisdom of God, I think it's one of the best things that's happened to our world. Because, not because of the way that they hurt the people. Don't get me wrong. Everybody has an appointed time to die. And you're going to die one way or another. But it's because it showed the world the real face of Islam. And it showed many of the people in the Muslim world who escaped the real face of what they were following. They didn't know until they saw it played out. And I'm telling you, there's more Muslims coming to Jesus right now than ever before. We need to pray for that movement as well. That one doesn't affect us right here on our own soil so much. But I'm going to tell you, that is a big deal. All these refugees that have been placed in other nations all over the world is a big deal. We need to pray that they're going to find Jesus while they're there. We really do. So please be in prayer for the refugees, especially those who come from a Muslim background. Pray that when they go back, they'll take Jesus with them. Because this has the potential to spread the gospel in the Middle East like never before. They're going back. They're starting to go back now. As things are becoming more safe, pray that they'll find Christ while they're in those refugee places. The only way it's going to happen is for Christians to go and be a part of it, part of their help. Yes? I'm sorry? Mm-hmm. Well, he said the prophets will be the first one to get it, and everybody else is going to get it, because we're all responsible for our sin. Each and every one of us. You know, I'm sure he was sending out his spirit to inform them as well, and he was even sending out Jeremiah, but they were choosing to listen to the false prophets instead. If you got the choice, hey, we're under judgment, or you got this guy over here going, hey, y'all are doing fine, you just keep up the good work, because, man, God's going to bring blessing. You know? God wants your best right now. You know? I mean, you just keep it up, because, like, it's going to turn the corner. Who are you going, you know, I mean, seriously, if you're listening in the flesh, you can choose that one. We're in a time like that right now, because we named off several movements that are very popular in our world today. But people are still responsible for whose voice they listen to. That's a good question, though, sister. That is a very good question. He wasn't punishing them just because the false prophets were wrong. He's punishing them because they listened to the false prophets as well. And they did. They do. And so we need to pray that our people will listen to the right ones. Listen to the right ones. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So here's a thought. Here's another theology that's being taught a lot, that people are basically good, that people in and of themselves are basically good, and when given the opportunity in the right environment, they'll just do the right thing. What do we find in Scripture? Ultimately, we're all sinful. From the very time we're born, we have sin, the seed of sin in us, that as it is fully grown, we become responsible for our actions. And it's when given the slack and enough slack in our lives, we do what's wrong. The choices we make lead us away from God, because the flesh is in it desires things. We were just in that in James this morning with our youth, you know. So that temptation is there, and then we have a desire that's coupled with it, and that gives birth to sin, and sin, when it's full grown, brings forth death. And there we are. There's how the human condition goes. So you see how that false teaching. Well, I'd love to think that we're all just basically good. I would really love to think that. But the Bible tells me no. Yes. Yeah. Selfishness bears. Yeah. Why do you think that in the Old Testament law they had to take a sacrifice for a child? Because they're a sinner. A little sinner came into the world. You know, we don't say it like that these days, but it's true. That's why you had to take a sacrifice to the temple first thing, immediately when that child was born. It was like a sacrifice unto God for that little sinner who was born. Yes, Sharon? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, setting them apart and saying, God, please, this is where we want them to be. And this is, we want you to help us do that. Yeah, it's very much different than like baby baptism or something like that, that we think covers them or whatever. It's more like a commitment we're making to have that child set apart. Mm-mm. No. Mm-mm. Yeah. Yeah. We've had 8 2-year-olds in our family. Yes. Our influence on them is huge. It really is. Yeah. Yeah. And praise God. And that's the kind of influence we want to have. Yeah. Absolutely. No. Go ahead, Phoenix. Multiple genders. Yeah. I was thinking there were only 2, but now I hear there's 30. Now, I don't can't even begin to imagine how there could be 30 different genders. Yeah. Well, I just talked to one of our own kids that comes to our church. It's a member of our church from Kingston, and they were telling me about some girl named Christopher that had been picking on her. Mm-hmm. And I said, Christopher kind of sounds like a boy's name to me. You know, I picked up on it pretty quick, and she raised her eyebrows. See, that's the world our kids are growing up in. She knows it, but she's not allowed to say it. See? There's the problem, isn't it? Yeah, we're grown up in this world that we know that God created all this. We innately know. I mean, like God says, everybody has it written on their heart. It's in our conscience. And yet, we send our kids up here to school, and I'm not advocating that everybody needs to homeschool your kids, but I'm saying we as a community have allowed our school to get to the point we send our kids into that school, and they're not allowed to say it during science class. I'm telling you guys, that's a dynamic that is huge that needs to change. It's huge. And we wonder why 80% of the kids or more are falling away from the church, who grew up in the church and falling away from the church. I got a wonderful video to show you guys on this. And there's an organization that I would like to have come to our church to do some creation teaching after the first of the year, just to kind of help bolster us up and get us stronger. You know what I'm saying? Teach us maybe a little better way to convey this truth. It's not Answers in Genesis, but they work with Answers in Genesis, and they actually come to your church, and they have some wonderful teaching skills that they want to share. Wow, if we could have a clinic that our whole community could get plugged into, that we can invite people from school and everything, and some of our Christian teachers, and man, wouldn't that be awesome? Pray about that. Yes. Exactly. There's a lot of stuff that ain't well attended that we still need to keep doing. Amen. And prayer services, Sunday night services, even in our own church, we need to keep doing it because it helps whoever shows up. And I think there's a spiritual strength that happens whenever we meet. We just need to keep it up. You know, you guys are identifying some of this stuff too, but I'm saying the Christian presence is the only solution to this problem. It really is. And yeah, it'll affect a lot of other things, but it's still the root. The root has to be Christ. He's the only one. And I tell you, that's why God blessed this nation. If we ever get away from it, he'll pull his blessing away. We say, God bless America in a song, but I say, please make America an America you can bless. Because he's not going to bless sin. He can't do it. And so we need to ask, continue to ask him. But I think we're on a good track. We just need to continue to pray through. Let's not get complacent. Let me pray for you, and then we'll get out of here. Dear God, pray for this group that came tonight. Thank you for them. Thank you, Lord, for our desire to go deeper with you. Thank you for the word from Jeremiah tonight. And Lord, it breaks my heart to know that this really happened. It really does. But Lord, I thank you that you recorded it so we could know about it today. Lord, thank you that you recorded it so that the remnant would know about it then. Thank you that we see clearly that even as a nation, we're required as a group of people to repent of our sins to be able to continue on with you. Lord, there's a whole other side that's really screaming right now, and they're screaming louder. They're the ones in the public that are screaming louder. And so, Lord, let us not get distracted by all that screaming. Let us continue in what we know is right, believing that you will change the course if we continue on with you. And so, Lord, I do pray that we would see a day, and I think this is so huge, that we would see a day that your creation is taught in those schools again. God, that's so huge. If we evolved from monkeys, then we can change our gender. We can call marriage anything we want. We can live the way we want. But God, if you created it and you own it, you say so. It changes everything. So God, please help us to get back to those roots. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. All right, soldiers.